Jiminy. I am an Englishman that speaks American. You know why I say that? Because I come from England, and the upper crust, they speak a special kind of English that gets under your skin. It's a weapon. And you've got to be very careful of how people speak to you, because they can actually play a game and very nice to you, but deep down inside you can sense that they're offending you. But you can't say anything because, well, they just seem to be nicely, seems to be, you know, but they're using language in a way that deeply understand you. You can actually feel yourself being hurt in some way and demoralized. What I'm saying is that language can be very deleterious, and that you and study and education and the spoken word, if everything is the spoken word, and then you communicate with the spoken word, and then you are somehow programmed with the spoken word, you can't speak up to yourself and you cannot be an American. I speak American because I speak my mind. I saw John Wayne, you know, he was cowboy sort of person, and I came to America. I thought, this is my people. I don't belong here. This is just glass, brass bands and generals. That's how it felt like. There's no future. But when I came to America, there was a future. And not that everything was all right, because I was watching a program last night. And it was the depression from 1925 to 35. I couldn't believe my eyes. I just heard about it, but I saw it on the screen. I saw the dead bodies in the streets. And it was all about prohibition and the way they tried to overcome the alcoholism was putting poisons in it. And they put more poisons in it, and people didn't care. They just died like flies. You think that, you know, but even now when people drink, they're dying from drinking, and they're destroying their family and destroying their lives. They can't stop. And there's a reason for this. There's a reason for every addiction. Everything can be an addiction. You can be addicted to Roy Masters. I wish you wouldn't. I just hope it in my voice that you want. I'm a free person. I'm speaking American, even though I have an English accent. I'm not like sort of an Englishman who uses words in the higher, the toffs in the higher places with money. They use, not all of them, of course. There are those who speak very gently with that. But generally speaking, when there's a lot of ego, a lot of money involved, and people are very rich and go from generation to generation with spoiled kids, there's an air of arrogance, and they speak and look down to you and use language as a sword into your heart. Now, that's pretty dangerous stuff. Because the first person you hear is your mother and father, usually, isn't it so? And so mother and father may have problems, and they usually do these days, more so than the 67 years I came here a long time ago. And so that words used with energy, with emotional energy, with sweetie, sweetie, sweetie pie stuff, that has a destructive quality. It's an appeaser kind of love. And you don't want to fall for that. You can feel the pull when somebody is sort of setting you up with nice words and compliments. If you're aware, you can see that and you can survive it. But if you don't see it, or if you do see it, but you don't speak up, or you see it, but let it roll off you like water of a duck's back, you'll be okay. And so this is the program where I'm going to help you speak American, because you've lost your free speech, you know, politically correct.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Good evening, everyone. I wonder if you listened to my program last night. The night before that, a young man called up and he sort of very weak and feeble. I can't remember exactly. I think he was suicidal. He mentioned it. But he couldn't speak to me, couldn't communicate with me properly. So as it happens, his mother called up the day before, the night after. And she could not speak very good English, but I could understand it, and she was a bad connection. I do hope she calls tonight, because I asked her, do you understand that your son is suicidal? She says yes. I said, how do you speak to him? She said, I scream at him. Well, she didn't quite say that, because the phone connection wasn't very good. Yeah. The phone connection wasn't very good last night with that lady. Yes, so if she calls, I make sure she gets a good line. Would you please? Thank you. Talk to your son that way. See, and words to that effect. And I said it in no uncertain terms. See, I'm speaking American. Sorry to put it that way. See, I can speak that way, and you see no angst in my voice or cruelty in my voice. But some people would see it oppositely. They would see me as cruel just because I shout. Just because you shout. Doesn't mean to say you're a bad guy. Because there's a way of being strong in your voice. See what I mean? Just like that. I can just remember me. I don't know if David's listening there, but I can remember saying, it's time to go to bed, kids. Oh, Dad. Uh-huh. Can we just finish this? We just need more than 10 minutes. Okay. And it comes to 10 minutes. He says, it's time to go to bed. Dad, just a few more minutes. So, okay. So then it runs out. I said, get up. I'm coming after you. And they all run up the stairs laughing because they know I'm not angry. And they all feel better and go to sleep. But if you had an anger in your voice, completely different. You're destroying them. And the lady last night, I asked her, do you know that your son called? I believe I said it roughly that way. And you know he's suicidal. How do you deal with him? She says, I scream and yell at him. I said, you bitch. You're absolutely, absolutely a bitch. And she says, I know. And that was magic. Because I didn't do it with rancor. I did not do it with anger. It's something just came to me and made me say that. And she knew it was true. And you know what? The magic was, she says, I know. That's the cure. See, this is not the case of degrading. This is the case of curing. You could actually call a person a bitch like that. It's not always necessary, but first night in all these years on radio, I did that. And I could not help myself because I didn't have the emotions. I always speak what is necessary to say, and I don't know that I thought to say it. It just came out without anger. It comes from the right source when it comes out without anger. Get up, kids, up to bed, and they all laugh. I come like the dragon behind them. But I'm very serious, but gentle, good-natured. So how many of you resented me last night? How many of you didn't call? How many of you thought that I was mean to this lady and didn't take the trouble to pick up the phone and call me and just judge me? A curse on you. A curse on everybody who does not speak up. A curse on every American who's not an American. Americans are not... I speak American because I'm living in a free country. If I want to call the president anything I want to call him, I want to test to see if I'm free. I will not be politically correct. Will not. An American is not politically correct. He's a weasel. Now, I'm not putting you down for being a weasel. And I'm not putting you down for being a bitch screaming at your son and causing him to commit suicide. There's a tone in my voice. Even though my voice is not very good because I had some kind of cold or... Well, I've been in a hospital, so it's taken a long time for me to recover for something I really didn't need. It put me to sleep 3 times and still couldn't find what's wrong with me. All that was wrong with me is I needed Tums. That's it. And the hospitals, you've got to be very careful, by the way, because they wanted to put me to sleep again, and my son says, no way. If you put him to sleep again, he won't wake up. He's right. And we found out that the hospital demanded that I have that extra test. And the hospital demands it, but the doctors didn't demand it. And they knew it was dangerous. See, but it's a way of getting rid of old people like me. And you need to love the older people, not that they're all nice. But the older people represent what America was. And I had a little experience with watching a documentary last night, which I enjoyed very much. And I opened the program by saying I thought, you know, America was... But this is in the Depression, in the 25 to 30 period. And people were drinking. And the government got in the way to try to stop the drinking and the destruction that caused by drinking. But actually, to make the point, it's not the drinking that is the problem. It's what causes the drinking, the state of mind. But we're going to come back to that in just a minute. So they actually put poison. They put poison and labeled it, put poison in it to keep people from drinking. They drank it with the poison. And they did it again. The people were dying in the streets, and it still wouldn't stop, even though they knew there was poison in it. And it says poison on it in every way, and they still drank it. And they died. So what I saw there is that we are completely in America. We've just not just got just drinking, we got drugs, we got pot, we got the most terrible kinds. I don't remember all the names of these drugs, but legal and illegal and legal. Illegal and legal, it's just the same things. There's no cure of the kind of thing that drives a person to drink and cuss his family out and destroy himself and destroy others. But it's not. But the drinking isn't the problem, and drugs are not the problem. People smoke these drugs and inject themselves with these drugs and every kind of maneuver, every kind of filth. I don't know how they can survive it. Many people do, but not in a good way. But again, what is drawing them to death? What is so pleasurable in poison? Now, poison doesn't have to be poisonous to be poison. You can be addicted to stamp collecting. You can be addicted to money. The more you get, the better you feel, and the worse you become. And the worse you become, the more anxiety you feel. The more anxiety you feel, turns into guilt. In other words, every high is the new low, because it's the wrong answer. And listen, let me just make it clear. Every high, every feeling you have that lifts you up, disconnects you further from your common sense with which you were born. But the beginning of your life is where I was pointing to last night. Last night I pointed to this subject, and nobody called me about this. And this is disturbing, that I can speak thus and you don't call. You don't say, tell me more about this. See? Or, you scumbag, how dare you talk this way on the radio? How dare you talk to us this way? I like that. It's preferable for me to sit quietly like here and just wait for you to respond. When my wife had a little problem last night, I had to leave the phone, the microphone. When I came back, we had a nice connection with David, and our connection, my connection with him and the rest of my sons and my daughter. When we get together, there's no drinking, no drugs, no smoking, nothing. We just have a good time with each other, you know, making funny jokes to eat people and sort of insulting them in a jolly sort of way. And it's like a pantomime here. And then we settle down and we can speak to each other in a deep way and enjoy it. So I see this. Oh, I say, yeah, I see that, but this. And so you heard us talk last night. Well, it gets much more profound when my family comes around, but also joyful. We make funny jokes about each other. And we don't need drugs or smoking to solve our problems. We enjoy each other's company. And we multiply our relationships, and not only with each other, but each with our God. And I would like to encourage this on my radio program. And last night, so let me get back to the problem. So last night I was talking to that lady, and I do hope she apologized to her son, because screaming at him to be a better person is what's causing the problem, the willfulness of it. Now, I don't have any willfulness. I'm going to ask you a simple question, and maybe this leads to an interesting discussion on this program. The number is 800-8686. Let me do that again. 866-88-83. And the it's 6 o'clock in the evening, West Coast time, to 9 o'clock, but 8 to 9 I don't do. So just to be honest and be transparent, it's an oldie but goodie. I'll be right back. Don't go away. 866-8883. Weekdays, Monday through Friday. Give me a call. Okay, so let me give you my website, and let me see what we have on my screen here. I just realized that we have a very gentle website, and I know that you can join that for $12 a month or $120 a year. What I didn't know was the thousands of things that are on there. That you don't have to watch TV. I wish you didn't. I wish you spend the $12 a month and use it as much as you can. There's all kinds of lectures, hypnotic demonstrations, exorcisms. Yes, even exorcisms. All-day lectures. You can hundreds of all-day lectures, 7 hours a day. All photographed in living color. And you've got all access to all of that, and pamphlets and booklets, all available just for $12 a month. And I haven't promoted it. It's all there piled up. Maybe my program is enough, you see, but last night, so let me just go to, having said that, it's FHU.com, FHU.com. You go there, and there's a meditation exercise. And let me close your eyes for a minute. Let me help you with. Let me just help you a little bit to find reality. And would you follow my instructions, please? I've got about 5 minutes to do this in. Let's do an experiment. Be brave enough. Don't. I won't bite you. I'm not here to make you codependent. I'm making you, helping you to find who you are. And I'll discuss that in a minute. Because if you have anxiety, you have an identity crisis. And I'll explain that too when you call me, 800-866-8883. All right, close your eyes. Don't be afraid. Close your eyes. I'm not going to bite you. I'm going to show you how to be still. And know he's God. That's it. And I'm not going to give you any fancy language. Just listen. This information has been lost for thousands of years. It's too simple. You can't believe that it will work. Give it a try. See what happens when you do this. If you have in your heart a desire to find the purpose of existence and not create your own, which is frustrating at the least. See? You want the solution to your problem, which is very simple. Close your eyes and look at your eyelids. And I say to yourself, why does he ask me to? No, stop it. Just look at your eyelids. Please follow my instructions. What do you see? Well, if you turn the light out, you'll see that the light's still on inside you. You actually can see your eyelids in the black of the darkness of your room. If you put your hand in front of your eyes so the light is shielded, you still see pixels moving across the screen of your mind. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. Okay, now just look at that. Now, when you're looking at your eyelids, something happens. You're not ready to go to sleep, but something is happening. You're looking at the surface of your brain. And furthermore, thoughts can't come back to you. You can't think of thoughts. You could hear my voice, but thoughts are not coming up. You can hear my voice, but the thoughts are disconnected from you. The endless loop of thoughts gone, and you hear my voice. Now do the next thing. Become aware of your first finger of your right hand. Just become aware of it. No effort, please. No effort. Just be conscious that your finger's there. Okay, do that. Say yes to yourself if you're doing it, as if I was there. Please. And it tingles when you become aware of it. When you give your part of your body attention, it will be happy. It will tingle. It puts energy into it. So, energy is not the energy of stress. It's the counter energy of stress. Just with your first finger. Do you feel that? Say yes to yourself, if it's so. Now, the second finger, be aware of it. Keep looking at your eyelids, and the thoughts don't come up. And you're disconnected from the thoughts, but you're becoming connected to your Creator. You'd be surprised. Your second finger tingle? Just a little bit? Okay. Say yes if you do. To yourself. Like I'm there. And the third finger. Just give it awareness. Just be aware that it's there. I'm bringing your attention. You wouldn't have noticed it before. If I said be aware of your nose, it'd be the same thing. So be aware of your third finger of your right hand. It tingles, and the little finger. Okay. Every finger is beginning to tingle. Now start with the thumb and keep doing this. First finger, second finger, tingle, third finger, fourth finger, pinky finger. Okay. Thumb, first finger, tingles. Warm tingling. All right. Now listen carefully. I just want you to hear my words that goes through one ear, comes out the other. Do not try to remember what I'm saying. Just listen to my voice and where I'm coming from and where I'm bringing you to the state of mind you had as a little child. You have always had it, but the spoken words, the cruelty and the injustice around you got to you and you got upset. Let it go. Let your father go because, and your mother go. Let it all go because they couldn't help themselves. Because their parents couldn't help themselves either, and their parents' parents and all the rest of it. And you're standing in their shoes, and you are affecting your children the same way without even knowing you are, trying to do the best for them, or be buying sweet and nice, or being too strong and angry. Drop that. From now onwards, something new is going to happen. You are moving towards the light, and you will see where the light of those little pixels in your eyes, they're going across the screen of the mind. When you open your eyes, the light will come from you. You'll have light coming to you, but you have intuitive light radiating from you. And that's because redemption is yours. You were forgiven before you were born. Open your eyes. Hello? Would you call me, call me tomorrow? Tomorrow's Friday. And let me know what happened tonight and tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. Have you been smoking? Have you been drinking? Did you have anxiety before you did that? What happened to it? Anybody wants to call me and continue a little discussion? Are you afraid of me? What did I say? And what is happening to you? You're not the same already. Now, some of you are angry. You are compelled to listen. You are curious to see what I have to say. And then you will see that it doesn't suit you. Oh, but I wasn't talking to you, really. You see, but you know that you didn't like where I was coming from because you're angry with me now. And did you know when you're angry with a person? See? And so, let me see now. The foundation of human understanding has been on the air for 55 years. It was many years ago when I was 13, 14, 15. I don't know when I noticed the Nazis, you know, I said to myself, I looked across the water in my mind's eye. I said, were these people like this? Were they born this way? Or were they just a country that somehow overcame them and put this in this nature into them? Murder. I want you to know that I discovered what that was. And I also know I see it happening to this country. I understand how to undo that. But there's a point of no return. If I went to Germany as being Jewish, they would kill me. If you were born into a cannibal kingdom, see, and you had a brightness, the very fact that they could see that you were different would cause you to be put in the soup pot. It's almost like you sent your kid to a school, and he's bright, and he's innocent, but the other kids are not. And the other kids will condemn him to death, brutalize him, beat him up, make funny noises, and degrade him, demoralize him. The whole idea is to demoralize. Your country, this government, is demoralizing you. The economy, for example, is everything's getting worse. He promises but doesn't deliver. That is a way you upset people. But some people actually become affected by that. Infected in such a way that they begin to love that which has demoralized them. And serve that person. Because they've lost the love by hating him. And the guilt kicks in. And fear kicks in. And the stronger the person is, the stronger that person becomes is only stronger because you give in. You're sort of politically correct with your wife. You're politically correct and polite. When you know that somebody is cheating you or looking down their nose at you, it doesn't mean to say you have to speak up to that person. You can just see that they are and don't allow yourself to react to it. That would be sufficient. See, right now, if you have overreacted to what I just said, I will own you. You will become one of two things. You become better because you wake up one morning and I've influenced you, see. You don't realize that this is my business. I didn't know you were listening, but you recognized yourself. And just so you got upset. Now that upset will put something metaphysically into your head and it will do a war with the dark side. Okay, so if you want to discuss this subject, there's 800-866-8883. I'm ready. Okay, Christiana, that was the lady last night?
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
When I got carried away with philosophy in the last 3 minutes, and I should have been a commercial, so I want to make my commercial this way, in a way that's going to help you. The Foundation Human Understanding web subscriptions, it's $12 a month, $120 a year, you mean. Yearly subscription saves $24 if you want to do that, you can. Access to 10 years to 15 years of Advice Line programs, lectures, audio tapes of the month, audio and seminar audios, access to Sunday conversation videos over the years, seminar videos, lecture videos, special features and magazines, and what we're adding, new material all the time. In other words, there's about 15 years of my work. So that you instead of watching TV and junk, keep an eye on the news and your hands on your guns, so to speak. But you now have to learn to deal with what's coming down the pike because you have lost your American, your way of life. I opened the program saying, I'm an American. I speak fairly good English, but I'm an American. You speak English here, but I speak English in the sense I'm free. I wasn't there at home, but I was still free. But I could speak. I couldn't get on a radio station. The only radio station there was the BBC, and nobody else can get on. I could talk in Hyde Park standing on a pile of bricks. No good. I've got a radio station, and I'm free, and I want to free you from your anxiety, your fears. I have spent my whole life doing this. Your psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors know nothing about this. I've been through it all. And every time they looked at me, they couldn't find anything. Then think, David. Is it almost better? That is the dark side of the force. Yes, it is the dark side of it. Oh, two callers, do I? All right. Is this Chris? How do you pronounce her name? Christiane. Hello, that's a much better call connection. Yes, hi. How are you feeling?
Well, I am feeling much, much better.
Good. You'll forgive me shouting at you.
Oh, that's no problem. I know I deserve that. I know.
But
can see very well now after you said everything. And it's truly, I have been doing that with my whole family. And it's very sad. It is very sad because they're not kids anymore. They're all adults. Even with my husband, like you said, he's not in the picture because I'm very strong. I'm a very strong woman. And
I like your strength. I like you. I hear that you're a strong woman. You're a different woman from last night completely. But it's beautiful to listen to you speak. I can speak to your soul. And you can hear my soul. I can hear yours. And I think that you have come a long way by me yelling at you in a good way. I'm the father you didn't have.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
And exactly. I appreciate your appreciation because it's not easy to cuss people out on the radio. I mean, it's people take it wrong. But you didn't. And so you can speak to your son, but you need to find a tone that's real, not artificial.
Find what?
You need to find a tone in your voice.
Oh, okay.
And it has to have patient endurance. So when your son is down, see, don't try to cheer him up.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss. Perhaps I did something wrong to you. What's his name? I forget. Dan. That's right, Dan. So say, Danny, look, you didn't have your father. You know, he wasn't there for you. And I was resentful towards your dad. And I may have taken some of that resentfulness out on you. Could that be possible? Because you're a man. And because I have your father left me with a job of trying to bring up a son. And women can't bring up sons. It's got to be a very exceptional woman to bring up a son. And the exceptional woman knows not to be willful. But the trouble with being willful is that women get married to find a man that loves the hell out of her, and all he does is comes back to mommy to look for approval and pleasure. It's all about him.
May I say something?
Yes, please.
Related to my husband, I even try, Roy, like you said, manipulating him. I try to make my husband take control.
The reins.
Yes, take the reins of the situation. Even I did try.
I know. I'm sure. But that doesn't, you can't make, you're not God, you don't have the power to create, make a person better.
Yeah, no.
But I say you can have that. I had the power to make you better last night, did I not?
Yes.
Okay, so you benefited me from my yelling at you.
Yes.
But it wasn't the kind of yell you've heard before.
No.
There was a certain command.
With truth.
Yeah, it's a command in there. That said to the other side of you, get out, you willful creature. Listen to this man. Something like that. Is that correct?
Yes.
You have an identity crisis. All you needed was a man to speak strong to you in a nice way and not be angry when you fuss and get angry back. So, I think you're on your way. And you're going to save your son's life by apologizing, saying, listen, I'm only a woman. I don't mean to be degrading when I say that, but it's not my job to guide you. As a matter of fact, I think you could give me good advice better than, I see that I've been making mistakes. I tried to manipulate your dad to do it for you, but I was playing God. And he was reacting. And the more I tried to help him, the worse he became. See, the more he pushed it back on me. So am I correct in all these things?
Yes, you are. And everything that you said yesterday was like a movie in my mind, showing me I am talking to my kids, saying one of them has a job that he doesn't like, but he can make money, good money for his future. And I could see me telling him, honey, you're going to be successful. You should keep this job. Don't give up. You know, I saw everything. Everything that you said, I could see as a movie.
You have intuition.
Children.
Yes, the thing is, you know what's wrong with you?
Mm.
You are brilliantly intuitive.
Okay? I'm what?
You're brilliantly intuitive.
Mm.
You understand what by being intuitive means? You know why. You can see things that nobody else can see. However, the only thing that's wrong with you is the anger and the manipulation. Therefore, that's what I mean by a demeanor in your voice. Like there's something in my voice that overcomes the voice of willfulness in the child and in you, because you have a very strong will, but what you need is to be willed. And let me see if I can correct that and make it clear. In other words, if I ask you, do you have a will? And you say, well, everybody has a will. I said, but ask me the question. Roy Masters, do you have a will? I say, no, a will has me. And that's a different kind of will to what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Your will is a dark will. And you need to be, admonished about that so that you might become pure. And that's what I did. I overcome your will with the will of God. In other words, I'm an agent. And I his will inside me, and you have the wrong kind of will. You have Eve's will. What the same thing that Eve had, you have. And so what you need is a man, which is, all women need this. All women try men hoping that they become a man and say, no, you can't have a fur coat. You can't spend all the money this way, etc., etc., and you can't speak to the children this way. I'll take care of that. And that's what a real woman like yours, you're a real woman. Because I am a stranger, and I can speak to you as a man to a real woman, and you can hear it. Your husband didn't know what a beautiful woman you really are. See? And therefore, he was simply looking for your approval. He didn't love you. He wanted to feel good. He wanted you to give him good feelings about himself. Perhaps like his mother. See that? So, yes. So you stepped into the breach because he was like a sort of like a chicken on a, well, a, what do they call a hen or chicken or rooster, you know, on a perch, and watching you fail, rather than him stepping forward and doing what he should. All he wanted from you was pleasure. Same as your dad. But most men only want pleasure from their wife. And so that's what they call love. And they will do it many ways, with force and cruelty, or with buying them nice things and saying nice things to them just so they can have the pleasures that a woman then tends to give up. And in that giving up, only make him codependent on that pleasure. See that?
Yes, so, I grew up seeing my father like that. Like you say right now. Everything. Yes,
and you got a husband the same way. And you decided when you were older, you're going to get a husband that would be a man. And your children to be men.
Right.
And yes, I get it.
That's what I always wanted. I know I am strong. I know that I could always get whatever I want, but I wanted him to take the reins of the situation, of everything.
That is a real woman. That is a real woman. I see your frustrations, don't you see? I see your frustrations. But you see that, but your goodness goes away. And when you try to work, when you try to play the role, you destroy. Don't go away. All right. Christina. Christiana, I hope I'm expressing your name properly.
But Christiani.
Christiani. It's a nice It's a nice name. It's just a little bit different from Christian, mm-hmm. but Christiani is sweet sound. I think that I have respect for you. You didn't get upset when I called you that name, because you were acting that way, and it stopped.
Yes.
And now your son is a little bit more free. May I suggest you apologize, sit down, say, look, I don't want to disturb other women, but I think you have the humility to listen. Your son is 22, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Right?
Okay. And so you need to sit down one day and just, but don't rehearse any speech. When it will happen, wait for the opportunity to happen by itself. And you sit down and you say, look, I thought I knew what love was. I came from this home, etc. said you can tell me this. But I see that my good father never did his thing, so he left it to me and he set me up to fail. And I failed you. A woman can't do this. This is not a woman's job. Well, what do I do? I don't have a husband. He just sits there like a cock on the throat. You know, on the throne, you know. You know that he says, "I'm seeing you fail." It's a dirty pleasure. It is many men. He just uses you, correct?
Yes.
See that?
I think so.
Yes, but that creates frustration and anger towards him, and you take the anger out on the kid, who is now getting weaker, and just like his father. You're robbing him his manhood. I would suggest that you sit down and apologize and ask him, look, understand my situation. I'm a woman. I don't know how to bring up a man. It's only a husband and a father. That's his job. It's not my job. So, oh, here I am again. I got lots of calls coming in, but this is so
all
important.
Right.
You know, but this is very important. This subject matter is in every family, in nearly all the families. Yeah. And the women get frustrated because the men are not men. And they try to make the husband into a man. And the more you try to make the husband the man, the less of a man he becomes. He becomes a bully or a wimp. And either way, it doesn't work. They're still not men. And so what is a woman to do? So that I would say, if you have a small child, I'm talking now not just to you, but to other women. If you have a small child, say 3 years old, just watch him, especially a boy, man child. Little girls are a little easier with the women. But boys are different. They need a father, really do. They also, women need two. Little children, female children need that same quality of a heart, real father who loves her, the little child, just the same. But men, there's something about boy that is very strong and intuitive and very close to God with the day they're born. And the tendency of the mother, your kind of mother, the way you've been, is to rob him of that without realizing it. So you need to take to your son and say, ask his advice. Say, whatever problem you have, find something that you do not understand and discuss it with him. I'd like to hear your view on this, please.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
Yes.
Like, should we sell the house?
Very well.
You see? Or whatever. What can we do with our old car? I don't know. Whatever it is.
I understand. Yes.
And listen to him, and then you can make proper arguments and objections. But then he will respond in kind, and then you have a conversation, and that's the way you speak to the man, from being gracious, knowing your place with men. Your own son
is
above you.
Thank you very much.
Because the boy, the male children, are first in line for God's love. And it could be a 3-year-old child that could save you. Because I've got a 7-year-old kid, grandchild, that is saving his mother. He's bringing up his crazy mother. And she loves it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Have your son call me. Have Danny call me. I will help him. I will help him now.
Mm-hmm.
He will not commit suicide.
You
tell him for me. I'm going to guide him.
Okay, he's sleeping. He went to bed because his life is all totally out of control.
I understand. I will help him.
Okay.
Tell him Roy loves him, appreciates him. He's now ready to talk to him. He'll be relieved. But he'll be relieved by the fact you have a different disposition to him, and therefore it will pass on to me. I will do the job.
I appreciate that.
Bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Christiane, thank you. I'll remember. Danny. All right, we're going to take... Who's next, David? Is David there? Which one? Is it... Ken. All right, Ken. Hello, Ken.
Hi,
thank you.
This is
thank
Ken.
You for
can
waiting.
Can you hear me fine?
Yes, I can. Yes, very clear.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if Dave told you, but the three issues that I have is with feeling the pull, projecting what I think other people are doing, and also a form of prejudice.
And what was that last one? I'm sorry.
prejudiced. Prejudging people. And I think I've had this almost all my life, from the first injustice. I think it's more like I could see the people, the manipulations, the giving and the taking.
Do you see that you've become what you've hated?
Yes. Basically, the
injustice. Do you understand? The people who did that to you became what they hated.
Yes.
Can you see further back? Can you see the generations before the person that did it to you also couldn't help themselves?
Right, I can also see where they do things on purpose. You know, that it's not like they can't see what they're doing. Some of them I can see that they do things on purpose just to aggravate you and agitate you. It seems like it's not like they're controlled.
But maybe that's not true. Maybe it seems like they're doing it on purpose, but they're compelled to do it just like you are. You know, you don't like your own condition, do you?
No.
Okay, but you are compelled to do it. So you can understand from your point of view that other people can think you're just as wicked as anybody, as you think that everybody else is wicked.
Right. They see of me being antisocial, things like that, and I don't feel antisocial.
You know? Yeah, but if you react to it, you become antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
See that? You're becoming.
Right.
Because you are becoming antisocial when you're judging people without knowing whether it's true or not that you're judging.
Right, because, you know, I kind of like shy away from parties, but there's a second part to that. It's like when I was a kid, I remember just crying and crying because I couldn't handle the sound, the input, the voices. And to me, to this day, it's the same way. You go to a Christmas party, the sound and the talking.
Yeah, but the hypersensitivity is typically hypnotic, hypnotic programming. Do you remember, did you hear my program the last couple of nights?
From the Daniel and Christiniani?
Yes, you heard a couple of programs this week. And did you hear me talking about photographs, reminiscing, creating an effect of pleasure and longing and loving, but it's connecting to the person to the grave that they're suffering from. The picture.
Right, mean like a trigger, right?
It's a trigger, yes. And that the way that tyrants use, they put pictures on the wall, statues of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere you look, he's there. But it's only a picture, but it reinforces the hypnotic state you're in. And so everything around you starts to irritate you. So the more you get upset, the more you absorb the objects in that area. And more things begin to influence you and keep you in that state tighter and tighter till you die. See, okay, don't go away. Oh, can I speak to him after the break? 800-866-8883. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a good discussion this evening. All right. So please take advantage. I haven't done this before. $12 a month or $120 a year. Yearly subscription saves $24. Access to 10 years of Advice Line programs. 10 years worth. You're never going to get. It's like Encyclopedia Britannica of Roy Masters. And then you've got the lectures, audio, tape of the month, audio, seminar, audio. It's just that. Access to Sunday morning conversation videos, everything, seminar video seminars themselves all day long, seven hours a day, hundreds of them. You'll learn something. FHU.com, go there.